Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Going to be with you for about 28 minutes, 30 minutes today. We're in our process, you know, we've started, of interviewing all the candidates that have responded to us. And I'm so happy that we can do this because an intelligent voter base will pick the right people. That's my opinion. I've had it for years. So without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, I have with me today someone that I have a lot of respect for. She worked forever. I think she was a Pilgrim Memorial Hospital when it was before BCC. Her name is Kathy Amuso. She's a wonderful lady, and she's running for re-election. Yes.
Yes, I am.
Yes, she is. And I want to say this, and I want to say it publicly. Thank you for running, and thank you for your prior service on the council and on a variety of committees. But thank you, Kathy. You've been a civic person for many years. So congratulations on running again. We'll have the private counseling session after.
I want to thank you for having me on the show, Bill. And, you know, I was getting ready for this talk with you, discussion with you. And I was thinking of the things I've been involved with, and it has been over two decades that I've been involved in a very various committees, elected positions, and I've enjoyed them all, no matter what they were. So,
well, I want to take an aside note and thank you as part of the School Building Needs Commission and all of that. I was at Taconic yesterday for live from Taconic Morning Drive, and that school is amazing.
It is amazing.
People are amazing. The kids are so energized. There were kids there to do the show. They had to get there at 7 in the morning, and they had plenty of them. But thank you for doing that. And that was a big, big deal.
The School Building Needs is a commission I was on for over 20 years, chair for quite a few. And it's full circle because I think about 2007 or 8, we decided to put Crosby forward to the state. And they said, no, we can't do that. Not ready. Doesn't need it. And we thought it did then. And we put the two high schools. They said, you have to pick one. So we picked Taconic. Yep. And Taconic, honestly, it's a fabulous school. When I go by there, it gives me chills to be part of that and know that we're moving forward to Crosby, which should have been done decades ago.
Yeah.
And as you know, this process takes a very long time. And the city just approved the $2 million for the facility assessment. You know, look at it and what do we need to do? How does it meet the regulations as far as the building, but how does it meet the educational goals? And it will take quite a while to get to the point where we're ready to break ground, but it's obviously certainly needs it. I don't know if you've been out to Crosby recently, but so here we are full circle from, I think, about 2008 to now 2025, and that's what we've put forward.
Well, I think the dreams of so many people about the new Taconic and what it will accomplish. But I just have to take a moment, and aside from your time, and I was, when they were going to close the radio station at Taconic, the old Taconic, I proposed saying it with a curriculum and all kind and submitted it. Dr. McCallis at the time and all, but what is it? Dipsy, right? The one down in Boston.
Oh, I don't. What do you mean, Dipsy?
Or Dipsy? Dipsy. What's the oversight board?
MSBA.
Oh, well, isn't it the Department Secondary and Primary Education or something like that?
Yes, but we go through the MSBA really for
the
this
school
project.
Bus.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they said no. There was no future, no room in the school for a broadcast studio. What a beautiful job these people have done. Yes, there is a big demand for all kinds of people in all kinds of broadcasting. So thank you, all the people who worked so very hard to get that in place. It is magnificent.
I think so too. Thank you. It was a huge team effort.
That's what it takes, and some other folks realize that. Why? This is crazy, but why have you decided to run for re-election?
Well, I was on the school committee for 10 years, needed a change, and I decided to run for city council. I was on city council for 4 years, and I truly needed a break. And I never thought I was going to go back. And 2 years ago, I got the bug again. I want to be involved. I want to be part of the solution. I want to know what our issues are. I want to make Pittsfield better. So again, I ran again 2 years ago, and I decided to run again. And sometimes I think people think if you've already been on or if you've already run, it's an easy decision. It really isn't. And it does cause anxiety, I think, but once you make it, you're good. And I just think we're on the right track to make a lot of things better for Pittsfield, and I want to be part of that.
And I concur with you 100%. I've had to make decisions whether to be A or B or whatever. And I guess if you've been already in the fray, you know what the fray is. And where if you're a newbie coming in, you maybe think about the fray, but you don't fully comprehend. And I think one of the things that some people, and I'm not saying everybody, but through the years, when they put their papers in for this position, like city councilor, it's much wider and broader than just Tuesday nights. And
Oh,
I'm
yes.
sure some people realize that.
Most of the time when you see us at meetings, that's probably the least amount of time we spend on things. You're answering the phone calls, you're investigating, you're meeting with department heads. Sometimes you're meeting with people from Pittsfield because they want to talk to you about a problem or, so the meetings are, some about 2 hours probably, but that's not much considering what else we do and our responsibilities are.
And that's the city council meeting. But then there's committee meetings.
The
Then
subcommittees, yeah.
there's things that the councilors should go to or must go to that are and again, I just want everybody to understand it's not a 2-hour job every other week, it's a full time. Well, as one person said to me, many remember Jimmy McCaffrey? Yeah, Jimmy said to me, Bill, it took me a year to find out where the bathroom was. But he said, I never had a dream of how intense this job was or is.
It is. And your first year, you spend so much time learning, just like he said. You're trying to build your relationships with department heads and the mayor and your colleagues. And quite honestly, you get through that first year and then you have to run again. So it's a lot.
And I applaud you again. Thank you for running. Thank for re-election. And I think it's good for people to know there's seniority, Kathy's seniority, from school committee to school building needs. I mean, she's been through it. I applaud her for running again. What do you believe are the biggest challenges facing the city over the next 2 years?
Well, I always worry about the finances, safety, and education. Those are always my top three. The first meeting of last year, I did put a petition on about the budget. Some people weren't happy, but I think it got the process aligned with what a lot of people wanted. We didn't have a lot of reductions, but mine was to bring forward a budget that basically we could afford, put the extras on the side right now. Because what people don't understand is when you have your salary increases and the health insurance increases, you're almost starting at a 4 to 5% increase every year. And then you start adding other stuff, other things, and it's not saying that they're not needed, but you have to be careful of what those extras are. And I've always supported the schools. You already said, school building needs. I was on the school committee. This year, I made a motion for a pretty significant reduction to the schools. And really, until the spring, they actually had quite a bit of money that they were going to give back, which I was pleased about. And then they had a large bill come in for special ed busing. So people talk to us. Some people had said there might be some extra money. Now, do I think the schools have frills in their budget? And actually, nobody in the city side or school side, there's not a lot of frills. But I just thought there was some extra money. And in the end, we reduced their budget by 200,000. They were able to meet that. But the cuts aren't easy. But sometimes you just see a few things that you want different. And so, again, I've been very supportive, always supportive of the schools. But you also have to, my first responsibility is to the citizens of Pittsfield. And one of the reasons why I ran, and especially when I was campaigning, I heard a lot about the tax increases. So you have the increases for the expenses, but we also had the increases because of the valuations of our homes, which went up quite a bit. Sometimes they'll say the tax rate went down. Well, why did my, tax go up? Because your house was worth 300,000 and now it's worth 380,000. It's good when you sell it, but not when you get your tax bill.
No. And I like because I think you've put time in the various disciplines. You know how they operate, and I think that's critically important in today's world. One of the, I believe it was a Boston politician, or a state, not, I don't think it was any of our local folks, who, or maybe it was a federal, who said doing a budget in today's environment is like standing in quicksand. So I applaud what you guys have tried to do, being conservative, but and also having that little bit of cash in the drawer in case we need it.
And we always need it.
And we always do.
When you look at what we've been able to do, the infrastructure, I don't know, it's maybe $800,000 a mile to, repave. So we're always looking at that. But everything is expensive, just like when you get sticker shock when you're opening your bills when they come at your house, the gas bill, the electric bill, the taxes. That's what City Hall's getting too. So we that's why I put that petition in. We have to be conscious of what is before us and manage it the best way we can.
I think you were on when or maybe you weren't when a colleague, a former city councilor, someone I have the utmost respect for, Tony, when he said, "Do we want it or do we need it?" And there's a lot of truth to that.
There's a lot of wants that are pretty close to a need, but you have to make difficult choices sometimes.
Again, that's as you well know, because you've done it. That's when you have to take the hard vote. While it seems like the best thing since sliced bread, we just can't afford it.
And when you see something that maybe you want a $50,000 reduction, maybe I think you can, you still have to get six votes. And you have 11 people on the council, and they're all passionate about Pittsfield. And what I think, oh, maybe we could do without, they think absolutely not,
Oh, I
and
know.
vice versa. So it's hard to get your six votes for a reduction because, quite honestly, nothing that I have seen has been brought before us that's frivolous. So it's difficult to make some of the choices.
No, and I applaud you for that. Yes, that is true. That I remember one time, and somebody they were going to buy something, and it was a truck, and it was like $50,000 or $55,000, and a guy stopped me at the Highland, and he said, "You know, Bill, I don't know if they voted for it, but he said, you know, somebody made it dismissive. Well, it's a good buy." He said, "Bill, I don't make $55,000 a year." So we have to remember that, and you, I know, do. But Well, there's people out there that are working, some of them working two, three jobs just to make ends meet. So, like you said, you keep raising taxes. What are they going to do?
Well, that you have to look at services or things or people, right? So there aren't a lot of things when you figure even at your house, you've got about 86% fixed costs. So doesn't the city. So
That's
when you
right.
say that, can you buy that fire truck? Can you buy that police cruiser? And for the most part, and I can't think of anything I didn't vote for, I've always been supportive. I've always voted for the fire equipment, the police cruisers, and the police. When I was on 1 year, I made a motion to add two police people to the force, and that passed. I also made a motion for $1 million more in infrastructure, and that passed. There are needs, and so it's easy to look at things and say maybe not, but
Well,
you have
I
to.
think in this case it was a city department truck or something. It wasn't fire or police. But I agree, and I have to say this, we have a fine police department, well understaffed. I wish they would get out of civil service. It's an archaic system. That's just me. And also, I think our fire department is second to none. I
Oh,
mean, really and
absolutely.
true, I've been all over the world. Our police department with the shortages of staff that they have, they do a magnificent job, really and truly.
I honestly think if you interact with almost any of the city employees, when you go into City Hall, they're warm and welcoming. And, I've had to work with different people that many probably don't even know who they are. I go in and they're so helpful. And what do you need? And I can send this to you, or I can get this to you, or here you go. So we have darn good people that work for the city, and I'm really proud of them.
I am too, and I can't say enough for them. I know some could leave and make money more elsewhere, but they hang in the battle and they hang in the fight. If reelected, how best do you think the city will deal with the challenges that we've talked about? Unstable budgeting, uncertain budgeting, probably is a better word.
Well, I can tell you this past a year and a half, it's been a little bit more. We have worked pretty well together. And the one thing that has been helpful is Mayor Marchetti does have an open door for any of us. You can stop in there if he's not busy, he'll see you. If not, you can make an appointment with him. I've texted him in the morning and I said, hey, can you give me a call? And he will meet with us on the big things. He'll meet with us, two or three at a time. But I think we feel like we are colleagues, and we do have the mission to make Pittsfield better. And so we've been able to make the difficult choices. And you see, we don't all vote the same way, but we all know that things are important. And we vote, we do our research, and we make our vote. But I think it's we work well together. And
He's an outgrowth of you. He was on that council. He presided as president. So he knows what you're all going through. I think that's a big asset.
So he's worked together. The toter system was one thing that we've done that saved a lot of money, but some people weren't ready for it, but he had his, community meetings, and he listened and he tweaked, and we heard the same thing he did, and he brought to us a program that had modifications based on the public information. And that's what we want. We want what do the Pittsfield citizens want? And he listened, and that's how we've worked the last year and a half, almost 2 years.
It seems like there's some collegiality. There's
There
not,
is.
just anger for anger's sake, or I'm going to vote against that because I don't like you.
No, yeah.
I don't
And
see.
that has been in the past sometimes, but not with this council. And I think we all like each other. There's bond, some people have bonded on our friends, but I think as far as moving forward, we all know we have people that are going to vote for the best interest of Pittsfield.
What's the most for you? What's the most rewarding part of being on an elected official?
Well, believe it or not, there's been, and it's not that it's the most rewarding, but it's very difficult, is this past year that we have more social justice issues that have come before us. And that's very rewarding, yet very difficult.
Absolutely.
We have the sanctuary city, which I'm proud. We said we want to control our city. We don't want the people from ICE, the federal government, coming in to control. We want people to be able to report crimes, be able to get health care and services. And we led the way for Berkshire County. We said we want to be a sanctuary city. We had the safety petition, and a lot of people, I didn't vote for it. And a lot of people said, well, why didn't you vote for that? Because it really wants to kind of help move the panhandlers away and the, safety around, Park Square a lot. And it was safe. It was based on a safety petition. The reason why I didn't vote for that is because we didn't have the safety data we needed to pass that. And I'm not saying we shouldn't help the panhandlers. We shouldn't make sure our city is safe when people are holding up their signs, whatever the signs may be. But many, there's been a few, and I shouldn't say many, but there's been several towns and cities that have been sued that passed this when they didn't have their safety data. So that worried me, and I didn't want another lawsuit, but I'm always willing to work on that. But that's why I didn't vote for that. We have the camping ban right now that has taken a long time. It is now with the Board of Health. But I have heard and listened that people owning businesses on North Street and people walking on North Street, and I've seen it. I was going down North Street a couple times a day. I have friends and business owners that call me. When you have people sleeping in your doorway and they're there in the morning, sometimes there's needles, sometimes they have defecated. We have spent millions and millions of dollars on our downtown, and we want to help the people that are there. I want to be compassionate. I want to be kind. I want to say, what can we have for solutions? But we also have to help our downtown, which they're destination businesses.
They
If
are.
I'm going to go to Steve Valenti's, I need to go to Steve Valenti's for some type of clothing, whether it's male or, for my husband or myself or my kids. Paul Rich, I'm going to go buy furniture. Amy Marshall, I'm going to go to her business for a class. You want to feel comfortable. You want to feel safe. And so we need to, and that's why we sent it to the Board of Health. I wish we could have gotten this done and at least worked on something and then modify it. But we have to protect our downtown and protect the unhoused. And I have a petition in that'll be on the next council meeting, just some alternatives to housing, and it's portable housing. If I'm out at 7 o'clock on a Thursday night, hey, maybe I can go here. I sent it to the mayor, to the chief of police, a couple other places. I'm all for modifying it or tweaking it, and it's portable housing. They're all expensive. That's the problem. We try to help people. Expensive. We've set up, the mayor have, I don't know, seven or eight places that they can use the bathroom. Sometimes they still don't want to. It's a saying, you can lead a horse to water, can't make them drink. That's sometimes what's happening, because sometimes they don't want the assistance that we have to offer. But we've done, I'm very proud of the social petitions that we've had this year, because we do have people that need help, and it really has been a collaborative effort with the council, the mayor, the Breen Center, all kinds of organizations, and we're going to continue. And whether some of it passes, some of it doesn't, this is an ongoing issue that we're all going to work on for a long time.
And I will quickly say this, it's not just a place to live. There's a it's a plethora of issues that And every one of them had every person in that has to be dealt with, and it's not. And I get kind of upset when I hear people make it sound so simple.
No, each
not
person,
simple.
And I say unhoused because that's kind of the root of what we're looking at. But they're unique. They come with their own set of issues, their own set of problems,
Exactly.
and their own set. What is the path forward to help them?
Excellent. We're running kind of short, so two questions left, and then I'm going to give you some time to speak to the viewers and listeners. What do you find the most rewarding part of being a city councilor?
When I can help a resident that's called me.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
And sometimes with that, when I say help, sometimes you can have an outcome that benefits them. Sometimes there's an outcome that is not exactly what we want, but they can see that you've talked to multiple department heads, the mayor, went back to them for solutions. So sometimes it's working with the people of Pittsfield, really.
That's great. And what do you find the most challenging?
Challenging. Probably 2-hour open mics. And I like to hear everybody's what they want to say. It is a lot when you're listening to everything for 2 hours.
And so much of it's repetitious. Because I watch them, and by now I don't have a life, so I watch even committee meetings, as we go forward as a city, and I think we are going forward. I think there was a period of time we really were in a rut. And now I think we have visionaries in leadership, and that's to include the council and the administration, people with a vision for what Pittsfield can be, and you're making, in my opinion, you're making it happen. It's not always easy, and it doesn't always come like lickety-split. It's government, and government got two speeds.
Well,
slow and stop.
A couple things, I say what's more rewarding, too, when you get some wins. We have the red carpet team.
Yeah.
And we just had this last meeting, the Jane's Americas and Elegant Stitches come before us.
But
and Jane's America got $500,000 and Elegant Stitches $200,000. They have requirements. They're 10 years.
Yeah.
And America Jane's has the building, and then they have to have, I think it's 15 new employees. And Elegant Stitches, I think they have to have, I forget, 6 additional staff.
Wow.
They have to make $35,000, which is not a lot, but when you have the added positions in Pittsfield, and you can build on that.
Yes.
And all of them are not 35, some are more. But those are wins that we have. And these have been in the pipeline, I think, almost the 2 years I've been on. They take a long time.
Yeah.
Sometimes the mayor won't share names because some of them never get to this point because
That's
the company
right.
doesn't want to come, or they don't have any money to expand. But, sometimes these wins are feel good.
Kathy, you have 2 minutes to tell the folks why they need to vote for Kathy Amuso.
Well, when I think about what I have done and how I do things, I listen to the people. I am engaged in what's going on in the city. I follow up, and I'm a lifelong resident. And not that everybody has to be a lifelong resident, but that means something to me.
Yeah.
I want our city to be better. And I am probably luckier than most parents because I have 2 sons in their 30s. And right now, they have decided to stay in Pittsfield.
Wow, how cool.
It is cool.
Yeah.
And I never thought that was going to happen, and it is. But you always want your city to be better, and I'm willing to do the work to make our city to be better. And so I want to work for the people of Pittsfield for 2 more years. That will make me happy.
Folks, election day. Here's what I'm asking. I don't care who you vote for. But please, please, I'm hearing all kinds of drastic horror stories. There won't be a turnout. Please get out and vote.
Yeah.
Please get out and vote. Because if you don't get out and vote, if you don't vote, don't complain. Because that's how I feel about it. If you have a lady, a wonderful lady like Kathy Musso, tons of experience, tons of giving to this city. So again, get out and vote. It's your duty. If you don't believe me, drive through that cemetery up, either one, anyone, and see those flags. All those people put their life on the line to let you vote. Kathy, good luck. Thanks for running.
And, thank you, Bill.
And say hi to the big guy for me.
I will. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming on. Thanks. Yep. Bye-bye, everybody.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM. You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
PCTV Select is a great way to watch local content without having a cable subscription. You can keep up with the latest of what's going on in your community from anywhere in the world. And it's available for free right now. Watch live events in full HD on your TV, on your computer, or on the go with your mobile device. Or watch our large library of on-demand video programs anytime that's convenient for you. No more waiting until it's on TV. Did we mention it's free? PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
Hi, my name is Al Perlman, and I love jazz. Mostly jazz from the bebop and beyond period of the 40s, 50s, and 60s. I also love sharing my passion for jazz from my extensive jazz vinyl collection with listeners here in Berkshire County. So please join me on Sundays at 8 p.m. for my show Jazz Collector Live on WTBR-FM Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon, and as you know, we are interviewing candidates who have signed up to be interviewed and that are running for public office. This morning, I have the honor and privilege of interviewing Dina Lampiazzi. Dina is, believe it or not, she's a mom of two, and she's running for re-election. Now, that says something to me. But it says that she likes what she does, and she does it well. I wish her the best of luck, as I wish all of the candidates. And Dina, I want to thank you because for running for re-election, and I mean that, and I've said it to others who have run. You know what it is. You know the time involved. You know all of these things. Yet you still threw your hat back in the ring. That to me is a true patriot. So,
thank you.
So listen, first question, you probably won't guess what it is. So why have you decided to run for re-election?
The simple answer is I like it. I like serving the community. I really care. I have a 1.5 and a 3.5-year-old, and my wife grew up in Pittsfield. So this is her home. This is the home that we've chosen for our family. And it's so important to us that we make sure that we have a community that's a place where we can raise our kids, and that maybe someday, hopefully, we can age and our kids will stay here or be able to come back after school. And, you know, I believe strongly that the decisions that we make now are what make that possible in 20, 30 years.
Right.
You know, there can be singular events that change a community fundamentally for generations.
Yep.
But a lot of those singular events come back to the decisions that were made early on. So it's important to me that, you know, we have a diversified local economy, that we're making smart environmental decisions, that we're having, you know, addressing our social problems humanely, but in a way that's evidence-based. You know, when we look at downtown, for example, we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of things to address. And it's important to me that we do it in a way that doesn't sound good in a soundbite, but next year we're going to see the benefits of what we do.
Okay, yeah.
You
Yeah,
know.
sometimes moving an immovable object takes more than just w wishful thinking.
Wishful thinking, you know, to truly fix something that is a deep fundamental problem, you have to roll up your sleeves and do a lot of work. You know, it doesn't come ready packaged.
And you have, through your time on the council, shown that you're not afraid to roll up your sleeves. So, and I think that's only fair to say. Because I don't have a life, I watch all those meetings, and even some of the committee meetings. And I really admire the people who you can, or I at least interpret, come in there to solve the problem, not just talk about it or belabor it. The next question, and this is, you kind of alluded to this already. What do you believe are the biggest challenges facing the city over the next 2 years?
I think it goes without saying that, you know, what's happening nationally, whether we're talking about federal funding opportunities or some of the other things that we're seeing on the federal level, those things are going to affect Pittsfield.
Sure.
If we're talking
Oh,
specifically about how do we run our city, I'm really concerned about the federal dollars. And you know, the relationship between what's happening with the state government and is how much are we going to be reduced that way because the state's making up for what we're not getting federally,
yeah.
which goes back to really looking at our priorities and figuring out where we're getting the biggest ROI for what we're spending. We can't just throw money away. We have to think strategically and plan for worst case scenario, in my view. So there's that. There's the financial side. There's addressing downtown, making sure that it's a place that everybody feels welcome, that there's opportunities to go have a nice afternoon or a
Yeah.
nice evening. And I think too that part of that is having diverse businesses downtown. Many of, you know, the reality is that we do have a lot of businesses that have gone in that folks don't realize are there. And that's largely because they're not businesses that one would visit, right? Like it's kind of a closed door visit, whether it's a med spa or something like that, where you're going to get your service and you're leaving. We want businesses that are going to attract community and facilitate socialization, basically.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we prioritize those and work with Downtown Inc. to do that. And another component of that downtown piece is, you know, we have these new apartments that have been renovated, many with TIs and TIFs downtown, but they have storefronts that are empty. We've got to make sure we're working with those developers that we have helped to make their investments
Yeah.
to fill those storefronts, and make sure phone calls are being returned. And then so a third would be staying loyal to constituent services. I think that's an important thing for any councillor,
Yeah.
especially a ward councillor.
Yeah, and you know, those are all excellent points that you brought out, but they're also too real, the real issues. You know, I did some interviews of the Berkshire Black Entrepreneurial Group had some people in downtown stores or store open businesses, and you know, you're right. We can bring business, but now I have to just say this, and I don't want to take your time, but watching the cable, and I have to tell you right now, the Polish princess, every time the cable bill comes in from Spectrum, I get, we got to get rid of this Spectrum because it keeps going up. And here we're ha there are people who will you know, give you another opportunity or another ch you know, venue. And I watched, and I wasn't always sure what was the council was trying to deal do with. These are businesses coming in. Not that you have to get down on your knees and thank them, but I just think some of the questioning was long and tedious, and I don't know what the point was.
You're talking about the fiber that we had?
Yeah.
So we genuinely had some major issues. You know, in Ward 6, Councillor Cavey belabored the issue a little more than I did. But speaking in my own experience in Ward 6, we had I had several constituents reach out and say, what is going on? Why is my yard being torn up? I don't know who these people are. One of my questions in that meeting was, do they have identifying garments on? Right. And the man said yes. And that's because they fixed it. I wasn't going to make a fight about it. But the reality is, when our residents were calling us wondering what was going on, it's because they didn't know who these people were because they had regular T-shirts.
That's
on.
Legitimate.
You know, but some of what we were hearing from constituents, at least I know I was, is why aren't they returning my calls? Why are they so rude when I try to talk to them? The customer experience was poor. And before even being a customer. And one of the points I made to the one that had the most problems was there are enough fiber companies coming to Pittsfield right now that the market's going to take care of you. So either you get on board and you do things in a way that business can be conducted, or the market will get you out of here. But I think this is great. You know, we all look at our spectrum bills and you know, we're kind of blown away. And the same is true, unfortunately, for our streaming services. Right after Disney went through a mass cancellation last week, the other day I opened up the app and I was notified that we were going to have another hike as a result, which is insane because they have such a monopoly on the system. That's a whole different topic, though.
Yeah.
But our, you know, we need more. But on the topic of you know, kind of the decisions that people have. I'm trying to remember the name of the author of a book. I just looked it up. Nudge is the name of the book is Nudge, and it's improving decisions about healthcare, wealth, and I forget what the third thing is. It's a great book. Healthcare, wealth, and happiness. I highly suggest that people read this. It's a very easy book. It's a policy book. And the premise of the book is looking at different decisions that folks have in regular life that governments choose to moderate or not. And when you give a population a variety of bad options, that doesn't seem like the right way to govern. There's a place where government can help make sure that you only have good options. So I kind of was wondering through that discussion if some of my colleagues were thinking if a company doesn't seem like a good option because they have poor customer service, they're disorganized, and they're not working with government, should we allow them to do business here?
Yeah.
And I think that's a legitimate question, but when we have such a monopoly, I think it's important that we just let them figure that out.
You're 100% correct. I'm not going to argue with you. I think you're 100% correct. I'm a big person, you know, I had some experience in questioning and people and interrogating people and conducting investigations. Sometimes I think the questions come across as accusatory or rude, I'm not meaning you. I think you're always very professional. But my thing is this. Right now, we need business in Pittsfield. And I agree with you 100%. And usually I get those kinds of calls or texts or something. You know, you talked about the cable people. Well, they blah, blah, blah. I haven't gotten a one. So that's whatever that's worth. Yeah. What else do you think are challenges? We certainly are going through a school situation.
Yeah, you know, that's actually one of the first things that came to my mind, but I'm trying hard to stay in my lane, meaning the ward councilors or the city councilors, like we vote on their budgets, and in some ways it's a very imperfect system. We vote on the budget of this massive operation that we get very few briefings on a year. And sometimes that system doesn't feel like it's well balanced. right? So that's a whole different thing. In what happened in this past year with our schools, I mean, I think I've been very clear, regardless of what the state ended up handing down, the reality is we could have handled it differently and better. We could have helped parents and families to feel more confident and safe. There are always going to be people that question, and people that are not happy with every decision, but by and large, most of the community, when they looked at this situation, especially those of us with kids, were saying, what's going on with communication? Can't we do better here? So I stand by that. And I think we have a real opportunity with our interim superintendent. I think she's fantastic. Dr. Phillips has been great. And we have a new school committee coming in, and I'm hopeful that they can all work together in a way that is beneficial to our students.
And I think I can't find one thing I disagree with you on. And I also think the public, and this is to the public, it is a new school committee. There's only one person returning.
Yeah.
So the give them a chance. Give them a chance. And I maybe I say that to my other colleagues in the press and everything. There's a learning curve that's going to have to take place. And their plate is full.
I think, too, as we say, give them a chance, contact them.
Yeah.
Reach out to
absolutely.
Them.
Yeah, yeah.
So much of, when I look back on how things went over the winter, so much of that, I think, tension between the school committee and maybe some counselors and others in the community was that residents were coming to us, the counselors, and inundating our inboxes and catching us at the stores and giving us phone calls about their concerns. And when we talk to the school committee, they're saying that they're not hearing any of that. And I think it's very easy for residents to forget that they need to contact different people for different things. And the school committee doesn't answer to us. And it's really important that they communicate what their expectations are.
And maybe a suggestion from an old fat bald guy.
Sure.
Maybe we should do a program, or the city should do a program on rules and responsibilities of each group, because the same thing. I agree 100%. People weren't sure where to go.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of our own fault. And it's nobody's fault. It's just was a unique situation. But what have we learned? What have we learned from it?
Well, I think part of it, something I learned is that in many ways, our community has trained city councilors how they expect us to conduct ourselves. And what I mean by that is they want to be able to find us on social media. They want to be able to call us and email us, and they expect some kind of presence.
Yeah.
And they haven't done that for school committee. So it's, you know, there are some very active school committee members that I think are incredible with their online communication and their emails. Like William Garrity, he goes above and beyond. That kid, like he, young man, I should say,
yeah.
he's so dedicated. And I would say too that Sarah Hathaway is present on social media and people know where she is. There are other school committee members that I don't think have that. And if the community wants that, they should show them that that's what they expect.
Good point. Yeah. Good point. And I have to just say this, and I use Mr. Garrity. He is a wonderful young man and with a brilliant future. And I use him as an example to another young man who could have a brilliant future. What do you find the most rewarding part of being an elected official?
Honestly, it's the small things. It's a resident who something's been bothering them, or they don't think that we'll be able to help with this thing, and they go out on a limb and they ask. They send an email, a phone call. They say, I don't know who to contact. I don't know if you're the right person, but this is what's been going on. You know, I've had folks, even with simple things, daily things like trees, that are on city property. that are falling in their yards, and like really simple stuff that like you've been watching this thing for 5 years destroy your yard, and you asked and we're able to fix it for you. That's a win. That's such a
Yeah,
good
that
day.
is when.
You know, that there's things like that. I think helping people to navigate city government is always very rewarding. And then on the, you know, the high level, it's looking back and knowing that you made a good decision for your city that is going to carry on into the future.
Yeah, and I like the way that the when the council really sits and listens to people making presentations. I also like the way the council maintained its integrity, maintained its professionalism when during some of these housing issues they were being attacked unnecessarily and unfairly. That's my opinion. And of course, in case you haven't caught, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White as the city council. But again, I go back to we have to be the example for the city. And I think you guys were. I just.
I think it's so important. You know, I'll back up. There are meetings that, you know, we had folks coming to us pleading. They
Yeah.
have, they genuinely have little to nothing in their lives.
Right.
They don't have personal possessions. They don't, they're in such a fundamentally difficult place in the world right now, in their lives. And even with open mic, my way of handling ordinances and rules was I'm not going to start yelling at you 10 seconds before you're out of time.
Right.
I'm going to make eye contact with you and let you know you're out of time. And then when we get there, I will let you know. And handling those experiences and interactions, I'll say, with and treating that person with dignity and saying, we're here to make a decision, potentially. That's really going to affect you and the people you are here to advocate for. I'm going to give you the dignity of finishing your sentence or thought in some cases, you know, giving everybody equal time, but being respectful of the fact that we have disenfranchised people that are coming into such a professional space that they don't know how it operates. Many of them had never been in council chambers. And when we talk about engagement with the populations we're trying to, I'll say monitor or affect in some
Yeah.
police, we need to have a fair interaction with them and listen to them and let them know you have dignity in this room.
Yeah.
Just because you're not used to how it operates, you're still welcome. And that was so important to me. And when I walked away from each of those ordinance and rules meetings, people on both sides of the aisle, people who very much wanted that ordinance as written originally, came up
Yeah.
to me and said, "I really respect the way that you let both sides speak, and you had a very professional way of handling this. Thank you. You treated people with dignity." And then folks on the other side that were advocating for the unhoused had the same exact experience. And I think that's so important. I don't.
Yes.
I don't. I think as leaders, we don't get anything by pushing people down when they're already down.
No, and you exemplify that throughout your I what I watch in your career. And I guess that's what makes a good counselor. I mean, think about it. I just think about myself. I can remember a person came to me many years ago and said, "I've been trying to get this tree cut down. It's killing my lawn. It's falling. Branches are falling off. I got to cut them up." And I said, "Well, if you contacted your ward counselor, well, why would I do that? Because he or she can make the call. That's why."
Right.
And he said, "Oh, I never thought of that." So there you go. Again, part of it is our own fault, and I take blame for some of it. I could be certainly do more public announcements of things that are going on and all that, and I try to, but What do you find the most challenging part?
There's a lot of different ways to answer that. I would say that it's challenging when something matters a lot to a resident, and as a counselor, you simply can't meet the expectation that they're looking for. I think that's the most difficult part. You know, whether it's getting a job done quickly enough, because we do have limited resources in the city, and even though this is very important for you and as a resident, we also have that through seven wards. And things come in and there's an order of operations that we have to go through. There's that. There's also the reality of limitations of our abilities as a city to fix things.
Yeah.
You know, that's the hard truth. And also sometimes residents have a very finite way of understanding an issue and they want it fixed one certain way, but maybe City Hall doesn't see it as that's the way that we fix that. Those are the most difficult and challenging things to maneuver.
And don't you think too, as the city is, because I think we are, I believe, maybe I'm just Pollyanna in the sky here, but I do believe we turned a corner and we're making progress with new businesses coming in. The GE property is being finally made to be appealing, not just old, empty, rusty buildings. And we still have a long way to go, but I think we're on the right path. And that's why I tell people, and you'll hear me at the end of this, I don't care who you vote for. I really don't. But boy, if you don't vote, don't gripe. That's my motto. Don't vote, don't gripe. And because right now we have a chance with a new school committee, a bunch of new people running for council. You are the people who basically handle my immediate future. Yes, the president, but you know, he hasn't called, you know, thank God. But I really think we should really get out and vote this time. It's so important.
To your point, Bill, these are quality of life issues that in some ways are really low hanging fruit, right? And we as a local government have the opportunity to make somebody's ride to work better, to make somebody's ride to drop their kids off at school better, to improve their experience, taking out the garbage, like whatever it is, right? We have all of these opportunities to make somebody's daily life better against what's happening maybe in the broad scheme of things elsewhere. And local government is so important in that way. And I think sometimes it gets lost.
I think you're right. I think when I hear the low predictions for these midterm elections, I've been doing this with Michelle for Benjamin for a long time. So, you know, Lou Markham and I used to do it, God rest his soul. And it's always discouraging to me because these are the elections that, right, quality of my life issues, directly my life. And I can't encourage people enough to get out and vote. I don't want to take your time soliciting votes. Why do you think we still, we still, I don't want to, that, forget it. I'm not going to ask that question. But we need to look into civil service. It's costing the city a fortune. We got to, within the next 2 to 4 years, we got a bunch of retirements coming up. And I'm not sure we have the time to wait. And what's your gut on civil service? Because they have unions now.
I mean, you and I have talked about this many times, and I agree with you. It's apparent that it's not serving us.
No.
You know, when I have year after year, when we do the budget, so I've been part of 6 budget sessions now. Year after year, this question of, with the police department, but can you fill all the positions that you're budgeted for? And there have been times where I think some have used it opportunistically to say the council cut a budget. But that's not true. We took money from somewhere that we knew it wasn't going to be spent because the system inherently keeps us from meeting that desired number every year, and putting it elsewhere where we could spend it. But we continually are not able to fill our positions, and it's because of the system that we're operating in. Right now, as we're implementing different traffic calming redesigns that have very divisive reactions in the city, time after time, what I hear back is, can't we just get some enforcement? If people know that they are speeding down Fort Hill,
Yeah.
they will stop, especially when it's the same people doing it, if they start to see cars being pulled over. And I don't disagree with them. I don't, because I know that when I see enforcement, I drive a little more carefully, and I think everybody else probably does too. But the reality is, we have emergency calls that our law enforcement needs to be ready for. And
That's
it's
right.
difficult to have somebody just sitting in a car waiting for somebody to speed by them. We don't have the bodies for it. So when we look at issues like that, yeah, I think changing our system would actually be helpful to us.
And I will tell you too, I, being a former police officer, I know the stress of that. I know the stress, and I know the chief. I have the greatest respect for Chief Dolly and in the command staff. But when you can't put a square peg in a round hole, and right now that's what they're trying to do just to keep afloat. So now, the next 4 minutes are yours to tell the people of Pittsfield why they should vote for Dina Lampiazzi.
4 minutes. All right.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks, Bill. so I've really enjoyed serving for these 3 terms. I know that I've built good relationships with the residents of Ward 6, and worked on really important issues in neighborhoods that affect quality of life on a daily basis for our residents, but also across the city. And I think it's important that, especially at a time when there's so much unpredictability in the world, that we continue the good work that we are doing. And it's important that we have a ward counselor in for Ward 6 that is going to serve both 6A and 6B. I'm very focused on making sure that, my residents out near BCC are getting what they need. And I'm also incredibly focused on making sure that those neighborhoods that have historically been underserved are not underserved anymore, and that those kids are having just as good of a walk to school that we can achieve as the kids on the other side of the ward. And so much of the work in Ward 6 relates back to blight and following up on those properties. Bill, you asked earlier what I think what one of the more challenging aspects is. And I think that that's one of them, is addressing blight in a way that helps residents to feel secure. So much of the system is based on the legal system and our authority and how we can address things. So as a ward counselor, something I do is I routinely go back through neighborhoods for properties that I know I get an email about every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I check them out, and I preemptively send that email to Director Canby and say, can we get some maintenance over here on this property? It's overgrown again. Can we get a safety look? Those are the important things that a ward counselor does, and I want to keep doing that and building those relationships with the ward.
I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I can't thank you enough for running, because I know what your life is like. I have grandchildren. Thank you for doing what you do. And folks, don't vote, don't gripe. Thank you and good luck.